Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 16, 2020. This morning I will talk about lament over sin. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Compassionate Father, be especially near me this morning. Blot out my guilt, hide my shame, cover up my sin. Though I'm unworthy, share an intimate moment with me. Remind me of better times. Grant me a new day in the sunshine of your mercy, a day when I could lose myself in your love and extend your love with abandon to those around me. Open a bridge over the gaps that separate us, time and holiness and power, that I might spend more time with those around me, might share in your holy affections, might overcome my own weaknesses and bitterness, and turn to you instead of into my pain, that I might experience godly, redemptive grief. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 126, verse 5, we read, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy." The second beatitude says that those who mourn will be comforted. But what does God mourn for? In Genesis, God grieves over human wickedness. The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. This is Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Human sin grieved God so much that he sent the flood, sparing only Noah, his family, and two of each animal. Elsewhere, studies of the word for mourning used in Matthew 5:4 in the Greek associate it most often with grief over death in the books of the law. For example, Abraham mourns over the death of his wife Sarah, and Joseph mourns over the death of his father Jacob. By contrast, studies of the word for crying used in Luke's beatitude in the Greek associate it most often with prayer in the midst of suffering. For example, a significant point in the life of Moses arose when as a baby he cried lying in the basket floating in the Nile. On hearing Moses cry, the daughter of Pharaoh is moved to rescue and raise the child as her own, disobeying her father's edict to drown all Hebrew baby boys, including Moses. Later, Moses cries out to the Lord in prayer to heal his sister Miriam, who has been afflicted with leprosy, and she is healed. By contrast, crying in the sense of whining or self-pity evokes God's anger. The focus of mourning shifts in the books of the prophet from the death of a person to anguish, crying out over the fate of the nation of Israel. Israel cried out to the Lord in anguish primarily because of the ups and downs of leadership in the 400 years after the nation left Egypt. During these years, Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and Joshua led them into the Promised Land with strong charismatic leadership. But leadership weakened as they entered the period of the judges, when, as today, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This is Judges 17:6. During the time of the judges, the cycle of sin, trouble, revival, and restoration became the normal pattern. The turning point in this pattern arose when the people turned and cried out to the Lord to keep his promises. And when all these things had come to pass, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and you call them to mind during among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. This is Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 3. In the book of Judges, this pattern of sin, trouble, revival, and restoration is repeated at least 5 times. Later, during the period of the exile in Judah to Babylon, mourning becomes prominent as the first of 2 parts in a lament. A lament starts with grief, but ends with praise. Jeremiah, the mourning prophet, wrote the book of Lamentations. We also read many lamentations in the psalm, as in, Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who would stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. This is Psalm 130, verses 1 to 4. In a lament, the heart is first emptied of bitterness, and then it opens to God. This lament form also appears in the second beatitude, where Jesus says, "Honored are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This mourning over sin, godly grief, appears as Jesus begins his journey to the cross. In the same way that God mourned over sin when he was preparing the great flood, Jesus mourns over the bitterness of hearts of the Pharisees on the Sabbath. And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is Mark 3, verses 4 to 6. Here, when Mark writes about the hardness of heart, he is comparing the Pharisees to Pharaoh. The narrative in Mark 3 is also significant because it explicitly links human suffering to sin and God's grief. Mark 3 is the only passage in the Gospels where Jesus is said to be angry. Jesus gets angry because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, and he cares about the well-being of people more than he cares about Sabbath observance. Because Jesus cares about suffering people, so should we. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.